Good evening. We're glad to be back. As you, most of you know, we spent the winter in Florida. And we had to put up with the sunshine every day and sometimes unbearably hot. But somebody got to do it. Yes, indeed. Turn with me this evening to John chapter 14. It's a well-known chapter, and I often speak on those first three verses, but tonight I'm going to speak on the second three in John 14, verses 4 through 6. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This message was motivated by a series of letters to the editor, I think about a year ago. The first one read like this, at least in part. I quote from that. To assert one's religion is above all others and be accepted and abided by all is pompous, presumptuous, manipulative, arrogant, decisive, selfish, and intolerant. And right near the same time, another wrote this. To assume all American citizens must accept and adhere to exclusively to Christian doctrine is divisive and pays no respect to Muslims, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, or atheists. The idea that one religion is superior to all others reflects intolerance. It's selfish, this person wrote. It's arrogant. So what must we do when we know that this is the truth? One writes, no respect to Muslims, or Jews, or Hindus, or Buddhists, or atheists. To be politically correct, we must say there are many, they want us to say there are many ways to heaven. So don't be tolerant of all these religions because there are many ways to heaven. That's basically what they're saying. Respect the Muslims' religion, the Jewish religion, the Hindus and the Buddhists and the atheists, and be politically correct. But this sixth verse in this chapter 14 of John says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Through my blood and my merits, no one comes to the Father. Is that clear? The Bible is very clear. There is one way to heaven, not many ways. In Acts, in chapter 4, we read again, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name, not Mohammed, not Buddha, not Hindu, or any other name. Do we believe that? Yeah. If you believe the Bible, you must believe that. There is no other way. And yet to hold to that way, you'd be called intolerant and arrogant and selfish. You think your way is the only way? That's being selfish. Well, Christ, before he ascended, said this, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Not just in America, as this one writer wrote, to assume all American citizens must accept and adhere exclusively to Christian doctrine is divisive. But it's not just to all Americans. It's to the whole world, among many nations. And then in Matthew's gospel, the last chapter, the Great Commission, Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Here again, go ye therefore and teach all nations, one way, all nations, for all men. Today, in the letter to the editor, someone wrote this. Live your life by your interpretation of the Bible, but that is as far as you may go. Your life. And that's the thinking of our present day society. You're selfish, arrogant. If you think that your way is the only way. Well, it's not my way, it's God's way. And it is the only way, indeed. To be politically correct, we must let the whole world go to hell and be tolerant of them. Don't warn them. Is that loving? No. Is that loving your neighbor? No. We need to be true to the souls of men. And to love them is to warn them. You're on the wrong path, according to, not to me, but according to the Word of God. Ezekiel 33, verse 6 reads like this. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And again, two verses later, in Ezekiel 33, verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. And so you see, the Word of God says, we are responsible to be true to the souls of men, to call their religion and let them go to hell is not an option. We must speak the truth. John 8:24 says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And so we understand that to be all who do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior will die in their sins. And that's not politically correct. To be politically correct, we must say there are many ways to heaven. Jesus Christ himself in Matthew wrote about the broad way that leads to destruction. Many there shall be on it, and among them will be the politically correct. And the narrow way leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Again, I read my text, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Selfish, arrogant, disrespectful, or is that the truth? It is the truth. It is biblically correct. Biblically correct is God's way or the hell way. No ifs, no buts, and no maybes. We must be true to the souls of men. And so we respect Muslims. We respect Hindus and Buddhists and atheists as individuals. They have a right to believe what they want to believe. And we respect them as individuals and peoples, but we do not respect their religion as a valid way to heaven, because it is contrary to the word of God. And we're not being true to their souls. Satan has them all blinded or misguided. In Corinthians, we read that he has them blinded. They are sincere. I believe that many of them are sincere. They've been brought up that way. And just in passing, if we must be tolerant of everybody's religion, then everyone would have the religion that they were born into. There would be different, all these atheists and Buddhists and Hindus, because we got to be tolerant of everyone, and they're all okay. We're all going to get there eventually, so let's be reasonable. Let's be loving, but to be loving is to be true to their soul. Satan has these blinded. They are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. Most do not respect Christians. They are not tolerant of us. I looked up the word infidel, which is what they call us. To be an infidel, according to Allah, is he who doesn't believe in a God named Allah or his messenger, Muhammad. That's an infidel. So we're all infidels. And their religion is convert or die. And that doesn't sound very loving to me, and very tolerant either. Our society is increasingly anti-Christian, even in our government. Slowly but surely, that which our forefathers embraced is being shoved out of the way. I can remember in Holland public schools and grade schools as well, every morning someone read scripture and someone had prayer. Every morning. Say, well, what big loss is that? Well, it set the example. It said prayer is important. It said scripture is important. But now we don't have that. It's not important. Evidently, Christians are being persecuted and killed and sometimes beheaded. And they will not recant. The true Christians will not recant. We need to pray for the persecuted church. And I tremble at the thought of someday being one of the persecuted and having to face that decision to embrace Allah or the Lord Jesus Christ. Will I be able to stand? Or will I be biblically correct? Psalm 23 has taken some new meaning for me and some comfort. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil is what caught my attention which I overlooked else. I was just thinking, in the valley of shadow of death, I need. But it says, I will fear no evil. His rod and his staff will comfort me. In the flesh, we will all forsake him. The disciples forsake him. Peter denied him. But in his grace, we will be given strength. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. His grace is sufficient. We received his grace to be forgiven. We received his grace to live by. And we will receive his grace to die by. Sometimes that causes us some anxiety. Death is the last enemy. And we're concerned about what will happen. How will it be? No one has ever come back to tell us. Well, I believe when the time comes to die, I will be given dying grace. And that's a great comfort to me. To know, when the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. That he'll be there through the whole process, however long or short it may be. Give me dying grace. And you, if you're a child of God, he will give you dying grace as well. I believe if and when I face persecution or even death, even though I tremble at it now, I believe I will be given the grace and the determination to stand boldly without fear or hesitation, to stand firm on the word of God, even unto death, because he will give me dying grace. It's all in his control, and it'll be well. He will not forsake me or us in the hour of trial. Dave mentioned that. Christ was forsaken 3 days on the cross. 3 hours, darkness came upon the earth. Jesus Christ was forsaken by God so that we won't have to be. And he will not forsake us in the hour of trial. It's going to be okay if you're a Christian. In a popular restaurant here in Holland, they have a little plaque up near the cash register, and I don't like it. It says this: everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. And while that may be true of a Christian, it is not true of everyone. Many will reach the end and it will not be okay. And even Jesus Christ had a concern for those. Not only Islam and Hindus and Mohammed and Buddha are misguided, but there is a host, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 3. There's a host of misguided so-called Christians. We read it in Matthew and Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Who are these people he is talking about? They are people who thought it would be okay in their end. But it will not be. Many misguided, deceived. In the churches, professing Christians. And we must be true to their souls too. Jesus was true to their soul when he wrote these words and warned us. Many will say, Lord, Lord, and he will say, depart from me, I know you not. Does that sound okay? No, it's not okay. And yet, according to Christ himself, it is something that will happen. In the earlier verses in that same chapter, he wrote, and I mentioned it earlier, he wrote about the broad way that leads to destruction and the narrow way that leads to life eternal. And the very next verse, immediately after, he said, beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing. In the last days, we read that Satan will come as an angel of light. Reading about it in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. In the last days, his messengers will come as ministers of righteousness. They will stand in the pulpit much the same as I am right now in some church, somewhere. And they'll water down the gospel to the point that everyone feels that they're saved. And they're the ones that will come to the end and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we sing in the choir? Didn't we work in the church? Didn't we volunteer? Didn't we do this as they said, as Jesus said? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And so we must be true to the souls of men, lest some of those whom we know and love will fall into that error, the error of false ministers of the gospel. Well, he's a minister in the church. Sure he is. But he might be a messenger of Satan, watering down the gospel to the point where he gains a lot of friends and a lot of members, but no true, genuine conversion to Christ. Because the gospel, as it is not being preached. Someone deceived these whom the Lord said would say, Lord, Lord. They missed salvation by grace, and they're trying to get there by works. Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we do this? Salvation is not by works. Works are because we're saved. We want to work, but they're not in order to be saved. And many are deceived. In fact, if you ask 9 out of 10 people if they're a Christian, they say, well, we go to this church. That's their answer. Going to church don't make you a Christian. (Clears throat) We know that Mohammed and Buddha and Hindu are misguided. But according to this chapter, the Lord himself wrote, many who name the name of Jesus are misguided as well. And if we must be true to the souls of the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists, we need to be true to their soul as well. As I read in Ezekiel, if the watchman doesn't do his duty and doesn't sound the warning, and they come and the enemy takes them, their blood will be upon their hands. And so the blood of thousands of souls will be on the hands of those who water down the gospel to the point where most anybody can be saved. Just say so. And it's okay. No personal testimony of grace of God in their heart. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, meaning, but through me, through my blood, through my merits, not through your works, not through anything that you have done, but by me, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Does that sound intolerant? Does that sound arrogant? Does that sound selfish? Well, is that politically incorrect? Yes. So be it. So be it. We must be true to the Word of God and true to the souls of men. Because if we don't, if I don't, someone's blood will be on my hand. I am the way. There is no other name, no salvation in any other. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm so glad that when I stand before my Maker and they should ask me, why should we let you into heaven? I don't have to say, because I did this, because I made a profession, because I gave my heart to Jesus, because I walked the aisle, or because I shook the preacher's hand. I'll say, Jesus paid it all. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And if I ever get to heaven, it'll be the blood and merits of my Savior, who loved me and bought me with his own precious blood. And I'll say, I'm with him. And they'll let me in. Oh, praise the Lord. God help us to be biblically correct. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's what these people were doing. Lord, haven't we Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Oh, may God help us to be biblically correct. Not just to the Muslims and the Islam and the atheists, but to all men everywhere. May God give us grace to be biblically correct. And if you're fearful of what you might do when you stand there, will I be able to stand as I fear myself, knowing myself? be encouraged. He will give us grace in the hour of trial or in the hour of death. He will be there and it will be okay. He will give us his grace and it will be well in the end for the believer. Guaranteed, guaranteed. But the little saying that says, let's see, where have I got that I can quote it? Everything will be okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. And that may be true for the believer. Because if he's going through something and it's not the end, it might just be a trial. But when it comes to the end, it will be well. The end will be well, but to thousands and millions, according to the Lord's own testimony, it will not be well in the end. Oh, we may worry. Someone has said, and I like it, if you worry, don't pray. But if you pray, don't worry. Amen. Amen.
Exactly. Praise the Lord. What a powerful way to close our day today, thinking about our Sunday school time, even through what Chester brought us this morning and how this all knits together. And what Jim said truly, I think, is key for us as Christians here tonight. I know each of us have family. I can remember just a while back in our own family, Cindy's sister-in-law said, "Well, you have your way and we have our way." And it hit me. I've got to tell her the truth. Exactly what Jim was saying tonight. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. Jim also said one other thing that I think is very key for us tonight is that we are watchmen. We have a responsibility as Christians to wave the flag and say, hey, as difficult as it may be for each of us to say, there is no other way, Jesus is the way. And I would like to take just a few minutes. We've got about 10 minutes yet to close our time tonight. Let's get in some small groups and pray for one another. One of the things I shared this morning is what Pastor has been preaching on in Matthew, is the fact that we have a responsibility to the world. You know, as Jesus left this world, he said, disciples, go teach and preach and disciple to all nations. And he also then said in Matthew, he said, look at the fields white under harvest. But what did he say? And I mentioned this in our class this morning, is that he didn't say, okay, James and John, you go over there and help those people, and Peter, you go help this group. He didn't say that. He said, pray for laborers. Jesus was more concerned about the disciples going to the lost than the lost coming to Jesus. And so we need to be fervent in praying for one another as Ventura in pursuing Jesus together. And let's spend our time tonight praying for that very thing, that we as followers of Jesus, as Jim said tonight, there may be a time, as we've seen around us today already, that, we've got to be tolerant of everybody else. But when you look at what Jim read even tonight with regard to the Muslims, believe or die. You know, who's persecuted today? The Christians are, because we have the truth. And we need to pray for one another that we stand on that truth every day, tomorrow morning when we're at work. So let's go to prayer now, and I'll close our time in a few minutes. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight grateful once again to praise your name for all that you've done. God, thank you for the messages today. God, I just think of this morning and how in order to be the watchman we need to be, we first off need to be in your word. And God, I just ask that you would help each one of us, even through this week, that you would do that work in each of our hearts. God, that as we show forth Jesus to others, that it be evident, first of all, in our own hearts and lives. God, that our love for you would show forth in such a way that others see, as Chester mentioned this morning, it's not a matter of works, it's a matter of our fruit. And that our love for you would be so far above whatever we could ask or think. And Lord, that you would do that work in our lives this week. Lord, that we would pray for one another. God, I just ask now that you'd go with us through the rest of this week, that we would be those ambassadors for you, loving and serving you to the end. In Jesus' name, amen.